Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Good Friday to you. It is the pre-Halloween edition of the Bill Michaels Show today. And I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe Zenzola, alongside Evan Heffelfinger as well. Everybody's in the house and getting ready for Packers and Vikings this weekend. You obviously have a Badgerless weekend coming up. Ryan Braun is, he's going to be a free agent, but most likely, at least if you read into what his wife was saying on Instagram and such, saying it's been great and enjoyed Milwaukee, that you would then assume that he's probably going to, you know, ride off into retirement after the $4 million buyout. But that being said, it's a busy day going into the weekend. So a lot of interesting stuff to catch up on. And a good show last night, man. Thanks to Mike Clemens and Doug Russell for both joining me on the Bill Michaels Huddle. We had a great time last evening and a lot of good discussion. Here's the one thing that I was kind of reading last night. And one of the statistics in the Packers game notes, the Packers in the last 36 meetings between these two teams, the winner has won 23 of them by 7 points or less. So 13 out of 36, 13 games have been decided by more than 7 points. The rest all within 7 points. This last meeting between these two teams was a 43-34 win by the Green Bay Packers. Packers offensively looked extremely dominant in this contest. Do you get the sense that this could be another one of those close games, for lack of a better term? I don't necessarily believe that it's going to be a close game, but I think that always when you're playing a divisional foe, it's always a tough game. There's always that animosity, that want to win. But I also think, I mean, to me, if I'm going to look at the biggest key for the Packers to get a win this weekend, it's not something with X's and O's. I think to me it's more about what not to do. And to me, what not to do is not to look towards Thursday night, November 5th. And it's easier said than done. I mean, obviously, you beat this team the first time, and the first time you met the Vikings, opening the season up, you did it rather handily. They're a team that's down. They're 1-5. They apparently, at least perceptually, they have gotten rid of some of their players, some of the guys they traded for and such. So they're a team that is kind of on the down. Ngakoue is gone. You got Barr and Hunter, both on IR. They both have had season-ending injuries. So they're down defensively. You assume with the rookies in the secondary that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a field day. So there's a lot of things pointing in the right direction for the Green Bay Packers. What you don't want to do inside the walls of 1265 is say, you know what, we should be able to get this, and then we should be able to move on and go out to San Francisco and focus there. Because you're already thinking, and I know Matt LaFleur was very, very good about it in his press conference yesterday, saying, look, we don't even talk about San Francisco. We're squarely focused on the Vikings and the division. And he is looking now to go, what is it? This would be, if he gets the win this Sunday, it would be 9-0 against divisional teams. 9-0 against divisional teams. So, Matt LaFleur is obviously looking to keep that record untarnished. So the one thing he doesn't want to do is allow his team to start looking over the fence and then something sneak up on them and get beat. 855-830-8648. So what are your thoughts on the Green Bay Packers getting a win this weekend? If there are keys to this contest, what might they be? What might they be? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Again, 855-830-8648. What might they be? Would love to hear from you. Also, you can get a hold of us on Twitter. Give us a shout because you can find us there at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can find us over there on Twitter. You can find us on the Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. And always love it when you do. And then obviously when we do some of the Facebook Live stuff, that'll pop right up for you. And then in addition to that, you can find us over on, email on the website. You can find us at BillMichaelsSports.com, BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com, Radio Joe @RadioJoeSports, Evan Heffelfinger @EvanHeff25. So plenty of ways to stay in touch with the program. But if I had to say the biggest key to a Packers win for me this weekend is just focusing on Minnesota. You got a much better offense than they do. Kirk Cousins is having just an abysmal season. You've got a defense that is sustainable, albeit, as Za'Darius Smith had said this week, yeah, you need to be able to really defend a little bit better against the run. They're starting to feel better with their pressure. You found some linebackers, or at least you assume you've found some linebackers, sustainable. I'm not going to say great, okay? I'm not going to get into that discussion. But just in general, you found some sustainable linebackers in Kamal Martin and Chris Barnes. Okay, you found some guys that you believe, maybe they can get the job done and become, more than what it is that you've been counting on. And obviously, you've got now Christian Kirksey back at practice, and I don't think he's going to be activated for this game. I would be somewhat surprised if he was, but maybe they're looking down the road. But anyway, Chris Barnes, you got Kamal Martin. You've still got, although Ty Summers, he was a guy that they started going after in the last contest and at times seems to be just a little off. I love his speed. I love his tenacity. It's just he seems to be just a little off. But, maybe Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, maybe those two together started to have that breakout game this last week, albeit not against a very good offense. It was Deshaun Watson, and he can run with the football, but it wasn't a juggernaut, so to speak. So I'm not overly concerned about whether or not this team should be able to win, because I believe they should, okay? I mean, if I had to, put money on it, I would probably put $50 to $100 down and think to myself, no problem. I think that the Green Bay Packers can certainly get a win. But to me, for the Packers to lose this game would be not prepare accordingly and then overlook, kind of like, let's get this one done so we can get on to San Francisco in a quick turnaround and a quick travel week. That, to me, is what would do in the Green Bay Packers. So your thoughts, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, please feel free to go ahead and do so. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Got one here from Jacob. Jacob writes in Wendy's email inbox, the key for the Packers win is to get on the Vikings and score early. They play best when they play with a lead. This one's from 105.7 FM. The Fang says the key for the Packers win is to jump on the Vikings early and not even give them any hope whatsoever, which, again, I 100% believe. This one is from Steve. It says, I'm concerned that Mason Crosby may not play on Sunday. If it's really windy, maybe field goals won't be an option. Which is true. You're right now talking about Mason Crosby ailing a little bit, and you it's as Matt LaFleur addressed. You can't just bring somebody in off the street and say he's your kicker because they have to go through COVID protocol in today's day and age. So that's something obviously you have to account for, and you're hoping that Mason Crosby is able to go. But as much as I want to believe that Crosby will, you don't want to allow Mason Crosby to injure himself any further if indeed he is ailing. He's got a calf injury and a back injury. And back injuries are fickle because they just, if anybody's ever had one, lower spasms or anything like that, if you've ever had it, you know exactly what it is I'm talking about. It's just, it's one of those things that just any movement, any tweak, all of a sudden locks it up, and then you're no good for a week or two or 10 days or whatever it happens to be. So you really want to be precautionary with that. So, and Crosby's been in all, the record I think is 214 regular season games and 20 postseason games that the Packers have played since 2007. And the special team coach says he's confident that Crosby should be able to play. Sometimes you can shoot it up. You know, you can take an injection and it'll kind of ease the muscularity in the back. But a calf muscle, that's a whole different deal. So we'll wait and see. What are the keys if you feel the Packers are going to get a win this weekend? What do they need to do in your opinion? 855-830-8648. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll talk with you when we come back right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. We are glad you are with us. Thanks so much. Bill Michaels Show continues on. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. So what do you think it's going to take for the Packers to get a win? And my number one key, and for those that are, you know, kind of jumping in on this, the number one key for me is simply the fact that they don't overlook Sunday. That's it. The Packers can win this game. I don't have any qualms about it. I'm going to be hunkered down. I'm going to be going out and watching this game. I'm getting ready for the weekend. I'm going to go enjoy it, and I don't think the Packers should have a major problem. Now, that's not to say that the Minnesota Vikings aren't going to bring their all. I mean, this is a couple of things for the Minnesota Vikings. This is, in essence, one, their last gasp. Because if they get beat here, their season's pretty much – I mean, they're already admitting pretty much that their season's pretty much done, right? But if they should get a win here, then you would probably look at this by saying maybe they're going to try to breathe some life into themselves, you know? With the expanded playoffs, who knows? They could get some wins, go on a bit of a roll. Maybe they could sneak in. Maybe. Doubt it, but maybe, all right? I mean – you know, they don't want to finish last in the division. They're fighting an uphill battle going right now against a team that's got a couple of more wins than them, and that would be the Detroit Lions. All right? You've seen after the 0-5 start, and granted it wasn't against a great Panthers team, but now the Falcons have won two out of their last three, winning again last night and looking a little bit better. You know, Julio Jones looking better. They're not – and by the way, I was reading in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the narrative Atlanta right now as far as trading Julio Jones, not going to happen. There's some salary cap ramifications. I don't see that going anywhere. There was some talk about whether or not they'd be up for getting rid of Matt Ryan. Maybe next year when the salary cap would ease a little bit. But first of all, a team's going to have to take on that salary, and I don't think there's many that are out there that are going to be willing to do so. And then secondly, it becomes much more flexible next season. And they've started to win some games, two out of the last three. Now, it's still a bad, bad year for Atlanta Falcons fans and the way that this team has just figured out ways to lose, admittedly. But they've figured out a couple of wins, and they seem to have a little bit of joy back in their lives last night, if you watched that game. And I did watch that game. So it seemed like Atlanta at least appears to be a little more Atlanta-like of what we thought at the beginning of the season. Now, the Vikings, can they get their second win? Can they also go to 2-6 on the season? This would breathe life back into their season. And if not, this would be kind of their Super Bowl, where they didn't get swept again by the Green Bay Packers. They would put that one-loss tarnish on Matt LaFleur's record in the division. They would be the first team to have beaten that Matt LaFleur-led team. They would have then beaten and figured out and or, you know, had, you know, Aaron Rodgers' number, if you will. So there's a lot of reasons that Minnesota wants to come in to Lambeau Field and get a win. They're not going to lay over and roll over for this game. Now, if you beat them in this contest and they go to 1-6, their season's pretty much done. I mean, it's done anyway. They're not. I don't believe they're going to eke into the playoffs, but they still have that breath of hope. You put them back down at 1-6, and yeah, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. So this is all the reasons that I would say right now, looking at the Green Bay Packers versus the Minnesota Vikings, the Packers should not take in any way, shape, or form the Minnesota Vikings lightly. The Minnesota Vikings have also, early on this season, they played a decent schedule. They played the Packers, the Colts, the Titans, the Texans, and the Seahawks. They did lose to the Falcons, but if they beat the Packers, then they take on the Lions, and then they get the Bears and the Cowboys and the Panthers and the Jaguars before they have to face the Buccaneers. They could get some wins. Let's just kind of go at it from blanks and giggles point. Say you get a win over the Packers. You're 2-5. Lions? I could see them beating the Lions. 3-5. The Bears? I don't believe in the Bears' offense at all. That would be more of a battle between the Vikings' offense the Vikings offense and the Bears defense, and who's gonna win that battle. The Cowboys, I can see a win. The Panthers, I could see them getting a win. The Jaguars, I can see them getting a win. They could go on a bit of a roll. This is that gasp. That's why they're coming in just loaded and seething and salivating for the Green Bay Packers. So you can't overlook this team in any way, shape, or form. 855-830-8648. I'm still picking the Green Bay Packers to win, without a doubt. But if I had to say the reasons why the Packers would not win this game, I would solely say Packers overlooking the Minnesota Vikings. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. By the way, a tweet that Rob Domofsky put out basically saying no announcement from the Packers on when they're going to allow fans in, but a collection of signs basically welcoming you to Lambeau Field were dropped off outside of Lambeau's South Gate within the last day. Others had been spotted previously around the stadium, he says. And basically, these are pictures of signs regarding coming into the stadium and social distancing. It says, please do your part to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And then it shows you the NFL bag policy, the entrance to the stadium, COVID-19 warnings. It talks about wearing a mask and such, washing your hands. It appears, and it talks about the ticket policy. It appears that right now that there is a plan, at least at some point, or a hope at the maybe the very least, it might be the best way to say it, that the Packers do eventually allow fans in the stands. So I just retweeted that. So if you haven't seen it, you get a chance to take a look at it. But which would be interesting if the Packers eventually did get a chance to allow fans in a stand. 855-830-8648. This is from the Atlanta Packer fan that says, stop the run and pressure on Cousins. You are correct. You are correct. If you can, I don't even say stop the run. I don't even say stop the run. I think if you can just simply slow down Dalvin Cook, if he's good to go and you know, feeling really good in this ball game, if you can slow him down, their offensive line that they tried to bolster a couple of times, it hasn't really taken. There's been a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins this season, which is another contributing factor to him having a woeful year. 855-830-8648. By the way, two more positive tests on two more players. Regarding the Broncos, an offensive lineman and a Vikings linebacker has now tested positive. Now, no confirmation as to who they are, but this is from Adam Schefter breaking it over on Twitter. And by the way, any breaking news on the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network brought to you by Pennzoil, made with natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. So we don't know who the Vikings linebacker is, but apparently somebody in the Vikings organization has tested positive now for COVID, at least according to Adam Schefter. That raises a red flag playing this team this coming weekend. Because the one thing you don't want to have is simply this. Think about this. The Packers with a quick turnaround if a player or players that have been exposed to COVID that are carrying that then play the Packers, you have a small outbreak, and then you got to put off that game against San Francisco, which to me on a Thursday night game might not be the worst thing in the world, if you know what I mean. But the Packers don't have a bye week coming up. So there would have to be some shuffling here. So it's while it's you can say, okay, good, another player gone for the Minnesota Vikings, it gives the Packers an edge. We don't know if it was a starter. We don't know if it was a backup. We don't know yet who that player was. And we might not know for a while until that player is actually placed on a COVID list. And then you'll see that. But you get some breaking news coming out of Adam Schefter and coming out of Minnesota that you got a Broncos offensive lineman that has tested positive and a Vikings linebacker has tested positive. Has tested positive for the COVID virus. So there you go. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Want to hear from you. This is from Mark. Mark says they got to be able to run the football, control the clock, have a couple of big drives, and get on the Vikings early. They get up to a big lead by two or more scores. Then you allow Preston and Zadarius Smith to tee off on Kirk Cousins. Let's go to David listening to us in Green Bay on our fine affiliate up there, The Fan. David, how you doing?
Real good. Good to hear you. First time caller.
Appreciate it.
Long time listening to The Fan. Love the content. I love all the foundation that you've sent, you've basically set up, Bill, in regard to this. I mean, obviously it's a divisional game, so throw the records out. You know, we don't like each other. Coach has got an undefeated record. We want to continue that. And everything you said makes all the sense, but the one thing that could derail us, as almost did last year, would be turnovers. And we've stayed away from that this year, outside of the Tampa situation. But other than that, forcing turnovers would be great. But the thing that can turn a game around, and I hope you would agree, and listeners as well will identify with, we can't have a special teams turnover give the Vikings life with a short field. We can't fumble the ball. We've got to stay true in regard to that, protect the football, play our game, use the running game, and then take advantage of what you have already indicated with the weakness in their secondary and perhaps lack of pass rush with trades and injuries, and just control the game. The major thing, I guess, outside of the lack of turnovers is one that I like is time of possession. We can control the ball, not turn the ball over. This should be a pretty good and a simple win going to 9-0 in the division. Thanks so much. I'll listen off air and appreciate your time, sir.
I appreciate it. No, I completely agree with you. There's nothing there that I could say, well, you know, I'll take lighter than others. Look, all of those things are extremely valid points. I 100% agree. I think I honestly, it's a rivalry game. I mean, to me, that should be enough, right? To you, that should be enough. It's the Vikings. It's bragging rights, all of that kind of stuff. It means the rivalry, while you play a team twice a year and you face them twice a year and players feel that rivalry on the field and they feel that animosity at times, it's much more elevated for the fan base because we feel the anxiety and the finger pointing over the border. That's what fans feel when it comes to rivalry games. Fans get into it. I mean, you get into it as a player, no doubt. You can ask the players. They know what it is. But a lot of these guys see each other. They have a lot of respect for each other. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Brian Urlacher had a really good relationship. You know, those guys, they not only did they love kind of the mental side of the game during the game, but they had a lot of respect for each other off the field. There wasn't a seething rivalry there. You know, they knew they played for rival teams and they wanted to win. But it wasn't a fandemonium hatred, you know. Fans of fan bases that are rivals hate each other. That's the way it's supposed to be, you know. You want to pound your chest and claim that victory. So while we may feel that rivalry factor on the outside looking in, inside, I think you're looking at it as Matt LaFleur is undefeated in the division. You want to win a divisional game. You want to separate yourself and continue to separate yourself from the team that is behind you. You know, not to mention, you want to continue to win ball games because you want to strive for, if indeed you can get it, the first round bye in the postseason. The Packers have that capability. So I think there's a lot of things working here that would keep the Packers focused on the Minnesota Vikings. But if this game coming up against San Fran was on Sunday, I really wouldn't have as much problem with it. But just you got to stay focused on this Sunday because I know it's a quick turnaround, but you can get quickly lost in the fact that you have to turn around and head to San Francisco in only 4 days. Let's do this. Kevin Holden from CBS 58. Our good guy Kevin is going to be joining us. He's going to come up next. We're going to talk a little bit more about just this. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders. And the guys over there are great people. And just walk in and tell them what you need or call them up and tell them what you're looking for and get a consultation over the phone. They can hook you up. And just like they did me, whether it's weight loss, low T treatments, even ED treatments, if you want to go in that direction. They do vitamin supplements. They do so many different things to make sure that your life is a good one, a healthy one, a strong one. Check out my friends at New Mail Medical. One phone number for all the locations, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Kevin Holden from CBS 58, up next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show, we continue on. Our friends at Quick Trip say, what's for dinner? They'll tell you what's for dinner. They've got some great meals. They prepare them fresh each and every day right out there in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and they make them in the morning early. They package them, ship them. They're right there in your store, your nearby store, and you can stop in and grab them. The same day, fettuccine alfredo with chicken, turkey with potatoes and gravy, beef stroganoff, pork chop with stuffings and potatoes and gravy as well. They fix them. You pull them out. And pop them in the microwave, hot and fresh, heat and eat. You're good to go. That's from our friends over there at Quick Trip. Quick Trip, for dinner and everything else, they have got you covered. Oh, my goodness, almost lost my face there. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Kevin Holden from CBS 58 is here. Kevin, how you been?
Man, it's all good. It's Friday. We've made it through another week. As odd as this week has been in the sports world, we're here. We're standing. We're doing this.
So, first of all, I want to go to baseball real quick because I want to touch on the Ryan Braun thing. It wasn't unexpected. They ended up opting out of the $15 million they were going to pay him for the upcoming season. That's nothing new. They would owe him a $4 million buyout. Now, if he retires ahead of this, the buyout or such, do they still owe him the money, or can he just say, I'm done, or do they pay him regardless?
Well, the fact that they declined the option for next year at $15 million means they're on the hook for that four. I mean, that's, in other words, it's an either-or situation. So if he decides to retire, it's his decision from here, but he would still get the extra from the team. Of course, there's a lot of different ways that this could go. Braun, for one, could still make it back here on some sort of one-year cheaper deal. I also wonder with that if Braun is maybe waiting to see how the rules play out for 2021, because there's some question about the DH returning to the National League next year. This, we have, you know, the collective bargaining agreement that's coming up, the negotiating that's going to happen between players and owners. And I wonder if the NL, at least for 1 year, might return to no DH, and that significantly impacts Ryan Braun and what he can do for the Brewers next year. He may be waiting for the rules to see if he's going to play next year.
I agree with you. I mean, if there's a DH, maybe it makes him more apt to come back, but at least judging outwardly by his wife's Instagram account, basically saying goodbye, it's been great. It certainly seemed like, right, that he was on his way out the door, that he was really, really seriously contemplating retirement.
Yeah, I think the chances are pretty good that's what was coming, because 2020 was, I mean, he had mentioned in spring training back in February. You remember back when people gathered in clubhouses and talked to players and, you know, that crazy alternate universe that we used to live in. He said then that he was looking at this being his last season, potentially. And only things between February and October have happened that would make me think that he would reinforce that, right? I mean, the only things that have happened in 2020 were these long layovers and a 60-game season that they had to sort of cobble together, and you know, the fact that off the field you got to be thinking more in terms of family, more in terms of other things that matter in your lives. And I imagine that if he was on the fence in spring training, if he was 50-50 in spring training, he's probably a little greater than 50-50, maybe quite a bit greater at this point.
So I want to move over to the Packers and kind of look forward to this game this weekend. I say the only reason that the Packers will lose this game is if they're looking forward to San Francisco, which is a quick turnaround. But I think the Packers have a better offense. I think their defense is, I don't want to say growing, but maybe getting better, but maybe playing up to more of their potential. I mean, I don't know how to put it, but they contained Deshaun Watson pretty well. I thought they did a pretty good job on what the Houston Texans had to offer. Granted, the Texans are not a good football team, but it seemed like some things began to come to fruition, and they don't have a good line in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins is having an abysmal season. There's always that rivalry factor, so you're going to get Minnesota's best shot. But you tell me what could possibly go wrong in this game other than turnovers.
I mean, it's the one nightmare scenario I would see is if it's some sort of crazy cold game and the Packers are beset with injuries, they have some sort of issue with, you know, with the kicking game, if Crosby doesn't kick and it affects the play calling, and somehow Dalvin Cook becomes this guy that just not only dominates the game but helps them chew the clock completely up. I mean, it's pretty far-fetched at this point. Cook's a good football player, but I think, first of all, I think Mason Crosby does everything he can to get out there. But the other half is the other parts of this Packers team have just they've been coming together pretty well. I mean, I know that Tampa Bay loss really is glaring, but what happened in Houston was, as you say, more than just a win over a good football team. They showed some things. They were impressive, in all the aspects of the game, all three phases of the game, to use the coach speak. But I'm actually a little more impressed with this team now than I was even a couple weeks ago because of the quick bounce back. That's what you needed to see from a team that's going to compete for a championship. When they get punched in the mouth, do they punch back? And man, did they ever in Houston. That to me was the most important win they've had so far.
I wanted to know your thoughts on the run game. Now, I don't think Aaron Jones is going to be back anytime soon, but I think they're deep. You tell me what you see out of Corey Dillon in the limited reps that we've had.
Dillon is it'll be interesting, too, that we can finally talk about Dillon when it's not about his legs, right? It's not, oh, look at this shot of this dude's calves. How about that? It tells you that there will be another power element to that run game. And, you know, what Jamal Williams already brings to the table has been good. So you put a Jamal Williams and an A.J. Dillon together, I think it's a nice little combination. To be honest, I think those two in a lot of years for the Packers would have been at least an acceptable running game. And Jamal in Houston was good enough that there should be no reason to run him out there with Dillon as a complementary element in Sunday's game against the Vikings. And it's something that's going to be important because no matter what happens with Aaron Jones, from a health standpoint, you've got this quick recovery and this long road trip. And this is one of the tougher schedule-wise, one of the tougher things that's about to happen to this team. Minnesota to San Francisco, 4 days, in between the games. So those legs are going to be tired. Dillon is going to be used, whether it's against Minnesota or San Francisco. He's going to be needed in some form. And so I'll be curious to see what happens with this first real, I won't call it an extended look, but, the first chance to get some carries for the team.
Do you see next year? I mean, I don't think if I had to pick a guy that would not be with the Green Bay Packers, my likelihood would be that it would be Jamal Williams. He's made some money this year. And not that we really want to get heavily into the offseason, but with the way the run game has been, the blocking has been better, the blitz pickup, albeit against Tampa Bay, was somewhat sporadic, to say the very least, but I think that had timing issues more than anything. But the blocking has been better. The pass receptions out of the backfield have been better. I think both Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones have made a name for themselves and made themselves a lot of money. But if I had to pay one, I'm paying Aaron Jones the scat back. So that would leave A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones next year, correct?
Yeah, and I'm all right with that combination. Aaron Jones has, to me, Aaron Jones has been, this is probably a bad comparison to make, but I feel like he's been what Eddie Lacy was supposed to be and was at some times for the Packers, where you could lean on him, you could depend on him, and you didn't have to worry about then having Rodgers throw the ball like 60 times a game. This scheme is different, too, and it's going to require more than one running back. It's going to require, you know, just a different way things are set up. But you have two. If you have Dylan and you have Jones, then Williams could be the guy to go. I think that would be actually all right. It's weird talking about having one more running back than the Packers truly need at this point. When you talk about three real options back there, I can't remember the last time that we talked about three legitimate real options in the Packers' backfield. I mean, I don't know if it's happened in my time in Wisconsin. So when the decision time comes, it won't be all around one player, and that's actually really good news for the Packers. It's some flexibility, whether they want to keep Jones, whether they want to keep Williams. They can, you know, figure out what's best for them financially and spend that money and, you know, bolster or, you know, hang on to a couple of these guys from the defense.
Real quick, before I let you go, in a short answer, do you think the Packers found the backup to David Bakhtiari, and David Bakhtiari's injury might have been the door that gets open so they can say, look, there is life after the left tackle that's been so good for so long. Maybe we found our left tackle. Or do you think that's way, way premature at this point?
Man, it's just such a hard position to fill in the league. And that if they did, it's great. I don't know if a short sample size like this convinces me, because it took me a while to come around on Bakhtiari and on a lot of left tackles in the league. That takes some time to get to that spot.
Good stuff as always, buddy. We will talk to you soon. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy trick-or-treating or whatever it is you're going to do.
Oh, that's right. I got to get a costume, man. I got to dig back in the closet. There's some throwback jerseys that are hideous enough. They could probably think that I'm some ugly ghost, right? Like some Padres throwback.
Yeah, well, you could always pummel kids in an old Houston Astros jersey or something like that, or a Texas Rangers jersey, and say you're Nolan Ryan as they come to your doorstep.
And that wouldn't be a bad way to go. Trash can, and we could be the 2017 Astros.
Right?
I love it.
Yeah. You know what? You could put the wife down at the bottom and let her pound the trash can, and that way you know the kids are coming. You'd be standing there and just call yourself Altuve, and you're good to go. Take a swing, take a rip, you're good to go. Hit candy to them, man. It makes it that much more simple. Kevin, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
See you, pal. There you go. Kevin Holden from CBS 58. There you go. He's always great to talk to. He is the sports director at CBS 58. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80+. They've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. He's a free agent. We'll talk a little bit about it next.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Vikings Sunday here at Lambeau Field. Green Bay has talked to the Houston Texans about a trade for wide receiver Will Fuller. According to The Athletic, the 26-year-old Fuller ran a 4.3 at the Combine 4 years ago. The trade deadline is next Tuesday. Charles Woodson joined us and was asked about the Packers' reluctance to trade for impact players.
When I think about even my time there in Green Bay, I just felt like we should have walked away out of there with at least two championships, no doubt about it. I just feel like, you know, there were some moves that you know, probably could have been made throughout those seasons to, you know, go out and bring another, you know, impact player in, and it didn't happen.
Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams says he'd welcome a player like Fuller, but had this to say about Woodson's comments.
It's a little bit safer to say that once you're not playing for the team anymore. I don't know how it would be looked at if I came through and said, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm always looking at that trade deadline. I'm like, man, why don't we sign somebody?
That's Devontae Adams in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
If my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say she went down in an airplane.
Welcome back. Ryan Braun is, as of right now anyway, I mean, he is no longer a Milwaukee Brewer. And when you look at his career, you know, the most home runs in Brewers history, and statistically speaking, one of the best Brewers ever. Second, third on the list. I mean, there's obviously Robin Yount and what Robin did for this franchise, and Paul Molitor, and Ryan Braun. You can kind of throw him into that mix. But when you look at what Ryan Braun has done statistically, it's undeniable. One of the greatest Brewers of all time. I think every time you bring up Ryan Braun's name, there's always that mix of emotion. I think the majority of fans have moved on from the steroid issue and what happened. I know there are many that hang on to some of the residual ill feelings. It's almost, you know what? It's funny. Ryan Braun's one of those guys that you look at and you go, man, what an incredible player. Just, he was Mr. Clutch. Just what an incredible player. Very dinged up. His body started breaking down. And then you think about the scandal, and you almost feel sick to your stomach that was the guy, you know? He could have gone on to have been the greatest Brewer. But nevertheless, I Ryan Braun is the option not picked up by the Brewers. He's going to get a $4 million buyout. A lot of questions about whether or not he could come back. We'll wait and see, depending on what the rules are coming into next season. But yeah, Ryan Braun, all those people wearing number 8 jerseys, I'm going to find it interesting, the passion coming back next season. Looking forward to that. Hey, stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. We're going to talk more about this Packers hopeful win coming up this Sunday. And Chris Raybon of the Action Network next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.